You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast. Dave Kellner here alongside Lee Phelps and Derek McGovern on the line to look ahead to this weekend's Premier League football. However, if the naps continue as they have been, we're going to have to change the start of that jingle from Top Flight Football Podcast to something entirely different, chaps.
No, it's still the Top Flight. It's just that we may not be Top Flight. Lots of bets within the podcast that are landing there.
Yeah, of course, of course. And chaps, people come to expect this from me, but I expect better from you two. Well, you at least, Eric.
Well, I think I've been affected by the World Cup, you know, coming back to training late. And, you know, was it a World Cup this year? No, it was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah. You mean the Rugby Union World Cup, don't you?
Of course, that's what it is. So, a bit of class will tell. Form is temporary. Class, permanent.
Yeah, I agree.
I just made a bad decision last week. I talked up Stoke v Leicester over 2.5. I just didn't go for the right one. Mm. That could happen to anyone.
Oh, yeah, of course, of course. And when you're giving 10 bets every week, it's difficult, isn't it?
Thanks, DK. Yeah.
Let's get stuck into this week's action. I will give you a naps table as soon as one of us have a winner. Tottenham versus Manchester City is first up this weekend. 12:45 PM kickoff. Tottenham 3-1. The draw 12-5. Manchester City 19-20. Headline offers: Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win is 8-1. Sergio Aguero to score and Manchester City to win is 3-1. Tottenham, Lee, have won the last couple in the league. 1-0 away at Sunderland and at home against Crystal Palace. Man City come into this on the back of that shock defeat at home against West Ham, and having been beaten by Juventus prior to that, their early season form has subsided a little bit.
Yeah, hasn't it? And you know, I think the Champions League is everything to Manchester City. You know, Pellegrini will know that he has to win something this year, or he won't be there next year. I think a lot of us were surprised that he managed to survive the summer as it is. Obviously, the 4-1 win in the League Cup got them back into winning ways, and they sent a strong team out there. Aguero scoring after 9 minutes. Kevin De Bruyne continuing his brilliant start to his City career. Sterling on the score sheet again as well. That was Sunderland, of course, who were terrible. 4 goals in 36 minutes. Just a shocking team at the minute, Sunderland. They've got this, you know, they've got Borussia Mönchengladbach away on Wednesday night, and that has to be in your thinking when you're weighing up this game. Tottenham aren't doing anything particularly great either. That's the problem here for me. I mean, you look at, you know, some of the players. Danny Rose should be fit for this one. Paulinho's back in contention.
Is that a good thing?
Well, I was going to mention Danny Rose. If he's in the starting lineup, that means that there's going to be plenty of opportunity to attack from Man City, because he just marauds up that touchline, doesn't he? The problem for City is that it'll be, I like to call him Jesus Navas. Navas is terrible, isn't he? I mean, how many opportunities do you get to cross the ball in and barely ever delivers? But I think he'll once again get lots of opportunity. Now, if he could just start to convert some of his crosses into actual, you know, chances for the strikers, I think they could win this, you know, relatively easily, Man City. The price doesn't really excite me, but Aguero loves playing against Tottenham.
Yeah.
And I'd have to have Aguero, I think, in here. The headline offer's nice at 3-1, but I'm not sure if City will get a win here. When we had, there was a market before last week, when will Man City drop their first points? And I thought it'd be this game. I thought they'd get a draw here. I didn't expect them to lose last weekend, of course. And I'm going to stick with that. I think it will end in a draw. Aguero is priced up at even money. You know, for me, a player of his quality, on any patch of grass in the world, if you're getting evens or above, I'm going to have to back him at any time. You've also got the super sub thing on your side as well, if he doesn't score and he gets replaced. So I think that's a nice price. I like the draw. Kane's a big price, you know, 17-10 at home. But, you know, what is it? Derek, you'll love this. 626 minutes now since he last scored a Premier League goal. So, you know, and until Christian Eriksen gets back up to full fitness and is providing some bullets for him, I don't really see him getting on too many chances. The other one, I mentioned him earlier on, if you like a goal scorer bet, I'm so impressed by Kevin De Bruyne. It's fantastic. It doesn't look like a footballer, does it? Looks like he's just stepped out of private school. 13-8 anytime, bursting from midfield. You know, he's got that same kind of style of play that Lampard had, where he just pops up. He always seems to pop up in the right place. Fantastic player. Seems to be really enjoying his time already at City. So 13-8, Kevin De Bruyne is nice, but I'll stick with Aguero.
Yeah, Aguero's got 10 goals in 7 Premier League appearances against Spurs. This is his favourite club to play against. Harry Kane just looks, Derek, a little bit devoid of confidence at the moment. Had a couple of opportunities against Arsenal midweek to pull the trigger and failed to do so.
Well, it's not just Kane, it's the whole of Tottenham's team, all playing without confidence. They've done nothing this season to make me think they're going to finish higher than 7th. And City have done nothing, apart from the West Ham blip, to make me think they're going to finish lower than 1st. I think this is an absolute gift for City, I really do. You know, I can't explain that West Ham win. Just as I can't explain West Ham's wins at our other big grounds earlier this season. But City, maybe you could argue there was a bit of complacency there for City. They got back into winning ways, as you said, in midweek, and they'll win this. They always do. Every time they play Tottenham, they win. Except the last 7 of the last 8, anyway, they've won. And they've absolutely battered Tottenham at White Hart Lane in 2 of the last 4 seasons. A couple of 5-1 wins there. Won't be that this time around, but they're going to win. And I think it almost evens is a gift. And I agree with you. Kevin De Bruyne looks like a likely scorer every game. So, yeah, I wouldn't put anybody off that.
What one player that was not mentioned there, Lee, Heung-min Son, who looks good, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He impressed me.
I haven't seen the papers this week, but someone must have used, go on my son, when he scored.
Yeah.
It's just like, if any newspaper sub-editor hasn't used that, then they need second, basically. Yeah, he does look a good player, doesn't he? But I mean, I don't know if he'll get much change. No, look, there's no company. There's no Jovetic, no company, no Torre, no Cliche here. So, you know, Man City aren't at full strength and they have got that Champions League thing. That's why I can't quite be as confident as Derek.
Tottenham 3-1, draw 12-5, Man City 19-20. That's the early kickoff on Saturday afternoon. The late one is Newcastle versus Chelsea, 5:30 p.m. At Newcastle 5-1, the draw is 13-5. Chelsea in the market at 8-13. Alexander Mitrovic to score and Newcastle to win is 10-1. Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win is 7-2. Remarkably, Derek, Newcastle have won their last 3 home meetings against Chelsea. Yeah. And Jose Mourinho never won a Premier League game at St James's Park.
That's quite remarkable, isn't it? Well, that will change this weekend because Chelsea are absolute certainties. I mean, they were punished this week for failing to control their players. Newcastle have been punished for failing to control the ball. I mean, they're absolutely shocking. And the manager, McLaren, says, you know, he's confident they'll turn a corner. Newcastle fans aren't even confident they'll win a corner. That's how bad it is. That's how bad it is. I mean, that result against Sheffield Wednesday in midweek, people are saying it was a surprise. Well, it wasn't. It was a surprise. It was only so slender. I mean, that's how bad Newcastle are. Mickey Quinn says the players don't know what it means playing for Newcastle United. They do know. It means they need a new agent. Because this is a side going nowhere but down. And, you know, Lord Quiff, the manager, is not the guy to change things. So it's an absolute gift, this. Chelsea are 4-6 or 8-13. Give them money away.
8-13, Chelsea to win this game. What did you make to the Diego Costa decision, Derek?
Well, not before time. They should ban him for the season. For being crap, basically. Not because he's a bully. He's crap. The most overrated player that's ever set foot in English football, Diego Costa.
I love it. I love him. I thought all that, while everyone was, you know, spitting feathers and all that, I thought it was fantastic. He's just a pure wind-up merchant, isn't he? It's just like, you know, you can imagine playing against him just niggling you all match and just trying not to snap. You know, I think that it can detract from his game as well, you know. That's when I tend to agree with Derek, when he steps over that line and that becomes more of his game than actually scoring goals. Mm. It's one thing, you know, Mourinho's brilliant, isn't he? Straight after the match, he calls him the man of the match. Because, you know, you can imagine Mourinho loving that kind of player who disrupts the opposition, you know, gets someone sent off. But now they're missing him for 2 games. I mean, a trip to Walsall, he probably hardly cried about that. So he's got too much ban, really.
Here's something to back up Derek's assertion that Diego Costa is not as good as people think he is.
One goal.
Chelsea have won 8 and lost none of the 12 Premier League matches that Diego Costa has missed since the start of the 2014-15 season.
Yeah, and he's not been scoring goals, you know, put simply.
He doesn't do anything but go around looking for the fight. He'll get found out. I spotted it last season. He'll get found out. There's nothing that guy does that's impressed me at all. He's another Torres.
Chelsea 8-13, well, strong for Derek.
Well, I mean, he grows a good beard, Derek. You've got to admit that.
You know
he does a good impression of an old young man as well, doesn't he?
He does, you're right there. He'll get his comeuppance though. Someone will get him slyly, you know, instead of what the Arsenal players did, ridiculous, right in front of the ref. Someone will get him on the sly, you know, and he'll deserve it.
Lee, what do you think of the match?
It's very hard to improve on Derek's preview. That's one of the best previews I've ever heard, I think. I tend to agree there. You know, that run, the longer a run goes on, the closer it is to finishing, people say, don't they? And surely Mourinho's got to win there at some point. It would be just like football and just like this Premier League season for Newcastle to somehow muster a 1-1 draw or something, with Mitrovic scoring in the 93rd minute, having, you know, come close to being sent off himself. But they have got so many problems. I mean, McLaren himself talking about the club being in crisis. He's admitted he doesn't know his best team. You know, he dropped, you know, that Watford game, he dropped Colback deeper. He's not, Colback was one of their best forward playing midfielders last year. He drops Colback deeper, and it's like kind of tactics by numbers. Watford just went, well, we'll just drop Troy Deeney back, so Colback's marking Troy Deeney, and Troy Deeney will win everything in the air. It's like, come on, surely you can see that. They've got problems up front as well. They've just got nothing going from up front. Jan Mat, who you put up last week as a goal scorer at 15-2, second most shots in this Newcastle side, 6. And he's, you know, he is one of the bright lights. You know, him and Sissoko are kind of developing a partnership. It's just whether they'll get many chances. And I think when we've seen Newcastle at their best this season, hasn't been very often, has been when they've just set up to defend and be organised, i.e. at Man United. And I think that's what they'll do here. I don't think we'll see any adventure from them. I think they'll almost set up like they're the away team here and try and set up to thwart Chelsea. I do think Chelsea will get it done eventually, though. So I'm going to go for Chelsea to win an under 2.5 goals. Mm. I don't see goals from Newcastle. I see Chelsea winning it. But Chelsea aren't pulling up any trees. Let's not make out Chelsea have just turned a massive corner. They've beaten Maccabi Tel Aviv. They've beaten Arsenal, which was a good result, but kind of mugged them a little bit with the sendings off, and beat Walsall. And conceded a goal, by the way, to Walsall. So, you know, I don't think this is going to be easy, but Chelsea to win and under 2.5 for me.
13-5, Chelsea to win and under 2.5 goals. Let's move on to Sunday's live game, just the one on Sunday this weekend, and that's Watford versus Crystal Palace. Watford 6-4 to win the game, the draw 21-10, and Crystal Palace are 2-1. Odion Ighalo to score and Watford to win in 90 minutes, 5-1. Bakary Sakho to score and Crystal Palace to win is 7-1. Lee, both these teams, especially Watford, maybe exceeded expectations early on in the season. Both picked up 9 points in the league so far, but have differing fortunes of late. Palace have had definitely the much tougher schedule to start the season, and they've suffered narrow defeats at home to Man City and away at Tottenham, which can probably be forgiven, Lee.
Yeah, and you know, it's all about that kind of, you know, that the difference between Palace home and away. I mean, they let us down a little bit last week. If you were back in Palace at Tottenham, where they lost 1-0, didn't manage to get on the score sheet. It's quite rare that they don't manage to get on the score sheet. Tottenham, Chelsea, early in May of last season, and at Southampton, the only times they haven't scored since the 17th of January 2015 on their travels. So we've talked before about how many games they've won on the road. I think what they need is they need a team to come out and actually have a go at them to be able to use that counter-attacking style.
Yeah.
Tottenham aren't kind of... They aren't ambitious enough, almost, to play into Crystal Palace's hands. You know, Chelsea, they don't play that kind of way. They don't go all out at you. So, you know, and they're a very strong team. So that's why they couldn't counter-attack successfully against them. And you could say the same against Southampton, the other nil they got back in March of last year, of last season, when they couldn't actually open up Southampton because Southampton weren't giving them the opportunity. I think they might come up against something similar here with Watford. Watford play this kind of system where they have a strong midfield, where they have two defensive midfielders and they have the two who can attack on the wings. I think Watford might be a little bit more pragmatic and look for a point here. Obviously they want the win, but they're not scoring goals at home. You know, 0-0 against West Brom, 0-0 against Southampton. They beat Swansea by a single goal to nil. I think we're looking at a low scorer here. I think Crystal Palace would love to get after Watford, but I just don't think they'll get the opportunities that other teams might present them. They need a team to attack them, Palace, for them to have a go back. The under 2.5 is way too short here. 13-20. I mean, I was amazed. I thought it'll be around, you know, almost like a picker. Maybe it'll be a slight favourite, the under 2.5, but can't touch that. So I'm just going to play the draw here. I think we'll see a bit of a stalemate where neither team, gets on top of the other. It's biggest price of the three, 21-10.
Derek, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I wouldn't argue too much about the lack of goals. I don't think it's going to be a thriller. Under 1.5 is 21-10. Always baffles me the difference between the under 2.5 and the under 1.5. Only one more goal after all. Yeah, Palace disappointed me last week against Tottenham in that I really fancied them, but it didn't really look like scoring. But you can forgive them one blip away from home, can't you, given the run they've had? Yeah. It was at Tottenham. It's not an easy place to win, especially if you're Tottenham. And I think a 2-1 to beat Watford, I think that's a very big price for Palace. I think they're a much better side. As you say, Watford only scored one goal at home in three games. Palace have scored five away. There aren't many better away teams than them. I think 2-1 is overpriced for Palace here. If this was at Crystal Palace, they'd be, what, 8-11, 4-6? And in my eyes, still, they've got a better chance of winning away from home than they have at home. So it's a no-brainer, Palace.
You mentioned that price, Derek. Did you see the price when we recorded the midweek version of this podcast for the Capital One Cup? They were that price to beat Charlton. I thought it was one of the bets of the season in your kind of terms.
Yeah.
I just thought I couldn't believe the price. Charlton aren't pulling up any trees in the Championship. I was amazed that they were that kind of price. They're still maybe being a little bit undervalued by the traders in general, Palace.
2-1 Crystal Palace to win away at Watford, who are 6-4. The draw 21-10. At Monday Night Football is West Brom versus Everton at 8 p.m. kickoff. West Brom 21-10. The draw 2-1. Everton in the market at 6-4. Both these teams have established decent recent runs. Since West Brom's 3-2 defeat at home to Chelsea, they've kept three consecutive clean sheets and have won at both Stoke and Villa. Derek, and Everton have started looking a bit more solid defensively as well.
I like the look of Everton. Every time I watch them, I think, yeah, Martinez has found out what he's doing, and John Stones is. I mean, every time I watch him, I'm more impressed. I was thinking earlier in the season, he's £30 million for an untried defender. It's ridiculous. But, I mean, he has been majestic so far this season. I think they're a tidy side, Everton. You mentioned a Palace. Lee, you mentioned a Palace are underrated by the bookies. I don't think that's the case with Everton. I don't think you ever see a price that's way too big for Everton, whether it's home or away. But I think they'll shade this. I can't have West Brom. I just can't have them. I can't have the team managed by Tony Pulis, because he's a manager like Roy Hodgson. Happy with the draw wherever it might be, and you don't want to back teams like that to win at any stage. So I'm going to go for Everton here. I think they're a tidy side. They're a better side than West Brom. And they're capable of getting a result anywhere these days, Everton. They're a side to keep on the right side of.
Yeah, Everton are 6-4 to win this game. I spoke to Robbie Savage about this match yesterday, Lee. Yeah. If only.
In words of one syllable, oh.
And he put
do you think? Yeah, you could do actually.
He put 0-0 in this in this game.
I
can see that.
Yeah.
8-1 it is.
Yeah, I understand why I go for that. I mean, West Brom have been struggling to get goals at home. They scored two against Chelsea, but haven't scored any other goals at home this season, including against Port Vale, by the way, when they won on penalties in the League Cup. So 0-0 against Southampton, the goals drew against Port Vale, didn't score against Man City when they were beaten 3. As Derek says, Pulis is almost anti-football, isn't he? You look at his formations at home, and he's like, they're like Watford, in that kind of, they don't go out and try and win games. They're more concerned with keeping that back line secure with that, there's two defensive midfielders in the middle of the park. And I think Everton have got a little bit more about them, a little bit more attack. If you like a mug bet, Lukaku going back to the team where arguably he kind of made his name, really. I know he was at Chelsea, but scored goals for West Brom, and kind of that's where people started to sit up and watch him. I'm never sold on Lukaku, I must admit. I just think he should be doing more for, the quality of player he is at the prices. If Naismith plays 15-8, I think it's a better bet than the 6-4 about Lukaku scoring any time. But Lukaku, who is the headline offer as well.
Yeah.
And I tend to agree with Derek that I think Everton might just sneak it. I don't see it being a high scoring game though. It's a bit confusing this, I always mention this, but the Everton to win by a single goal is probably worth a look as well. What you're looking at there basically is the handicap. So if you go to the handicap markets, it's a handicap tie. So you're looking at the West Brom plus a goal versus Everton minus
yes.
a goal, which is to win by a single goal. Once the match goes in play, you can actually play that market, but for some reason, pre-match, they don't give us it. But it's 3-1 for a 1-0 or a 2-1. And I can see that. I agree with Derek. I think it'll be a tight game, but Everton just to sneak it because they're the better side.
Yeah, I like that. 3-1, Everton to win by a single goal in the game. Those two headline offers, by the way. Salomon Rondon to score, West Brom to win 6-1, Romelu Lukaku to score, and Everton to win is in the betting at 4-1. On to the non-televised games this weekend, and Leicester City versus Arsenal first up here. Leicester City 3-1, the draw 11-4, and Arsenal 17-20. Headline offers, Riyad Mahrez to score and Leicester to win in 90 is 10-1. Theo Walcott to score and Arsenal to win is in the betting at 3-1. Lee, we've seen it before. We've mentioned it on the podcast. Arsenal a little bit naive against Diego Costa and Chelsea in the Premier League last week. And they'll have to be on their mettle against this Leicester City side, who have come from behind to grab at least a point in their last four Premier League matches. So if you're looking for that bet, of course, you can have Leicester to come from behind and win or draw, which is a big price. And Arsenal haven't been clinical enough, have they? They've missed too many chances this season so far.
Yeah, agreed. You know, I've been banging on this Alexis Sanchez drum for a while, but I mean, sooner or later he's going to, you know, I think he could grab a couple somewhere. In this match, he's 6-5 to score at any time. You know, he's one of my favourite players in the Premier League, but he's just not finding the back of the net enough for me. This may be the game where they open up. I mean, you know, every week in the media love the Tinkerman, as they used to call him, don't they? Every week we get a different story about how he's trying to get his team to get a clean sheet. First it was he was offering him a tenner. Then it was offering him a pizza. Like, jeez. I mean, Five Live wouldn't stop. Oh, they won't be getting the pizza now. They let a goal in. It's like, jeez. But, I mean, it's almost like a bit of a joke. And you wonder if it's a joke on the training field as well. I don't see them keeping a clean sheet here. But I do see them scoring, to be honest with you. And I think Arsenal will win the game. I think it might be a bit of a topsy-turvy game. And we've seen some crackers, haven't we? 4-2 against Sunderland. 1-1 against Tottenham. 3-2 against Villa. The 2-1 win against West Ham in the League Cup. I mean, the over 2.5 is an absolute banker in Leicester games for me at the minute, especially at home. The crowd's absolutely buoyant before the match. The players come out and they have a right go, and fair play to them. Can't have the over 2.5 at 6-10. Can't have the both teams to score at 4-7. So I'll play Arsenal to win and both teams to score, I think, at 23-10. I like that. I can see Leicester getting on the score sheet here.
Yeah, if you do like that Leicester bet that has landed the last four matches, it's 11-2 for Leicester to come from behind to grab at least a point or get the win against Arsenal. How do you see this, Derek?
Well, I mean, Arsenal will go down on a lot of coupons because for the first weekend in a long time, you've got Arsenal, Chelsea and Man City all at backable prices, you know, all hovering just below the even money mark, really. So Arsenal will figure large, but they'd be a team I'd leave out, you know. Lee mentioned earlier on in the bulletin the Champions League looming on the horizon, and they need a result in that more than anyone. And I'm just still not convinced by them, to be honest. I'm really not. Both teams to score looks an absolute no-brainer, but it's 4-7, and you just can't touch that. I've written Leicester off every week, and they keep coming back at me. Sooner or later, their bubble's going to burst, but I just got a sneaking feeling it might be a good time to play against Arsenal. They've had some tough fixtures recently. Chelsea, Tottenham, they've got a Champions League game next week. I just can't have them, really. You know what? I'm going to give Leicester a go here. I don't think I've backed them all season long, but I'm going to go. I know the Tinkerman rotates as well, his formation, but Arsene Wenger's rotating his wives now.
He doesn't do bad, does he, Wenger?
No.
What about the girl who he's friends with that was in the papers? Was she a rapper or something?
Yeah.
He's doing all right there, isn't he? She obviously doesn't mind a coat, does she? I saw that video again this week of him trying to get his hand in the pocket when his zip's done up. He can't figure out that the zip's done up. He's like... he's just a dork.
On that rapper now,
he's
anyway.
Just a dork, isn't he?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's an old-fashioned 90s dork.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go for Leicester. I've got a sneaking feeling that they're a little bit overpriced here. You know, a side in great form, riding high in the league. I know they're not going to finish there, but they are in great form, scoring goals for fun. Against a side that's definitely beatable. They're at home and they're 3-1 almost. That'll do me.
Two things that I forgot to mention. One is that I think Derek likes both teams to score. I like the over 2.5. You can pair them up and have 17-20 for yes to both teams to score and over 2.5 goals. The other thing I wanted to mention very quickly was the wonderfully named Joe Dodu.
Or Joe Dodu.
Dodu.
Yeah.
Joe Dodu. Again, a headline writer's dream.
What does he wear on his back number two?
Very nice. Very nice. On that note, we'll move on. Manchester United versus Sunderland next. Manchester United are 2-9 to win this game. The draw is 5-1. Sunderland 12-1. Headline offers, Anthony Martial to score and Manchester United to win is 5-4. Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win 33-1. On paper, Derek, should be plain sailing for Manchester United this one. Yeah. Good result against Southampton. Beat Ipswich at home in the Cup. Sunderland languishing at the bottom of the Premier League table.
Well, exactly. How bad is it for their manager, Dick Advocaat? Well, he's rated more likely than Brendan Rodgers to be next Premier League manager sacked. That's how bad it is. Advocaat, anyway, it's a drink made from lawyers, isn't it? Advocaat. What kind of a name is that? I've got to go for Man United here, 1-4, 2-9, because they're going to win. I mean, how can... you might look at 12-1 Sunderland. It's not big enough, is it? It ain't big enough. You know, there have been one or two surprises this season. West Ham have been springing them every other weekend, but Sunderland ain't going to do that because they've got nothing at the back and they've got nothing up front either. Jermaine Defoe seems to have lost all kinds of confidence. How can you not back Man United here? It's a set, isn't it? Absolute set.
Manchester United 2-9 to win this game. They've been pretty clinical recently, Lee. Yeah. Scored with all six shots on target in the last couple of Premier League games, which is incredible. I suppose you can look at that two ways, that they're not creating that many opportunities, or they're just very, very good in front of goal at the moment.
Yeah. I think both are probably true, actually. Yeah. And that's all you need, really, isn't it? Look, they're very short, and it's hard to find any value about them. You know, 2-9. Wow, I mean, it'll go on every acca this weekend, won't it?
If you give Sunderland a goal, that's up to 2-1 if you fancy Manchester United to win and both teams to score.
I can't see
that.
Club Brugge scored against them, didn't they? That was an own goal. Benteke got that absolute wonder strike against them. Other than that, you know, they haven't been doing too badly, have they, defensively at home? Didn't concede against Newcastle. Obviously, they wouldn't have conceded against Ipswich and didn't concede against Tottenham either. So I'd be struggling to give Sunderland a goal other than it being a bit of a fluke. I'm going to go for my old favourite here. Given the way that Sunderland capitulates so easily, when one goal goes in, another one follows pretty sharpish. You look at the League Cup, 9, 25, 33, 36. You look at the game at Bournemouth, 4 minutes and 9 minutes. You know, once they concede, they seem unable to kind of to stop the rot, if you like. Even against Exeter in the League Cup, the previous round, they conceded two fairly quick goals, 19 and 31. So regular listeners to The Pump will know that I'm bringing it back out of retirement. It's the Manchester United to score over 1.5 first half goals. You know you love it. It hasn't really happened that many times this season already, to be fair, but I'm going to go with it again. Man United to score over 1.5 first half goals. You can back two at 16-5, just two goals in the first half of Man United at 16-5. Obviously, if you get three, you're absolutely gutted then. That's one way in to do it. Otherwise, I don't think it's on the website at the minute.
No, it's not.
1.5, but it'll be up there by the time on Saturday. Over 1.5 first half goals. It's usually around the 5-2 mark, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Something like that. That's Manchester United versus Sunderland. Let's look at Liverpool versus Aston Villa. Liverpool-Aston Villa, 8-15 Liverpool. The draw, 14-5. Villa are 6-1. Daniel Sturridge to score and Liverpool to win is 7-4. Scott Sinclair to score and Aston Villa to win at 16-1. What's going on with this Liverpool side, Lee? Edged past Carlisle on Wednesday night in the Capital One Cup. It is fair to say things aren't progressing as Brendan Rodgers would have envisaged.
He's absolute fodder for the papers, Derek, as well, isn't he? I mean, I was just saying to DK this morning, I've seen more articles on Brendan Rodgers than there has been on anything else in the last week. It's such a popular subject matter, Liverpool and Brendan Rodgers, I think because he gives the media so much. One of the better ones was in The Guardian. I was reading the talk about how he kind of always tells a story around a success that he's had, and which the press love, so it's a bit harsh for him to turn around and then have a go at him. But I mean, some of the stats in that article were really good. 16 points from the past 15 Premier League games, which isn't great, of course. And you look at the goal scoring as well and the creativity up front. Liverpool have won twice after six league games against Stoke, thanks to that Philip Coutinho screamer, which I know you shouldn't say, well, if they hadn't had that, he is part of their team, but they didn't create anything. They needed a worldie to beat them. And Bournemouth, thanks to a goal that really shouldn't have been ruled out as well. They pointed out the tactics. He's played a 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3, 3-4-1-2. Doesn't seem to know what is the best system to play. And I'm not one for, you know, for saying, oh, this system works, that system doesn't work. But when you're playing three different types of system so soon in a season, it does say to you, he doesn't know who his best team is. Now no Jordan Henderson, no Benteke. I mean,
they do have Aston Villa, though.
They've got Aston Villa, yeah. But I mean, does this play into? I mean, does Aston? I mean, Aston Villa are nothing to write home about, obviously. And Tim Sherwood's probably under more pressure in a sense than Brendan Rodgers is. Although that win against Birmingham will have done them no harm at all. I think whoever goes to Anfield at the minute is going there thinking, we can just be belligerent here. We can just be really, really disciplined, set up strong, and frustrate this Anfield crowd. I don't see Liverpool tearing Aston Villa apart here. The question is, can Aston Villa do that? Can they go there and put up a really good, stoic, defensive display? Not sure, but that's what I think they'll try. So I'm going on another goals play here. Yeah, I just don't see Liverpool managing to score goals. I'm just playing under 2.5, 19-20. Not the biggest price. I can't have Liverpool to win. Can't really back Villa. You know, the draw's a decent price, but I mean Liverpool at 8-15, even against this Villa team. So it's a bit of a boring one, but under 2.5. I think they'd love to get back to basics, Liverpool.
19-20, under 2.5 goals in the game. Liverpool, Derek, 4-game winless run in the Premier League. They've lost 2 and drawn 2 of the last 4. The last time they failed to win in 5 in a row in the Premier League under Rodgers was his first 5 games in charge. So things are not progressing.
No. He's sent out for more envelopes. That's how bad things are. I mean, they're about as dominant at home as I am these days, Liverpool. I mean, I was at that game in midweek, the Carlisle game, and Carlisle looked more dangerous than them. Seriously, I was at Liverpool had all the ball. They're never going to score here. It was pitiful. Rodgers has got a lot of goodwill in the bank from me for that season, the Suarez season. It was a magical season for Liverpool fans until it turned sour near the end. But you wonder now more and more, was that anything to do with him, or was it all Luis Suarez? Because they had Suarez then, they had Sturridge fit, they had Gerrard then as well, they had Sterling firing. They haven't got any of those players now. Sturridge still injured. People say they've got to give him time. I mean, you know, he's still got to try out his 2-6-2 formation. Yeah, they've got him time for that. But I don't know, when a manager loses his mojo, I think it's time to go, and I think he's lost his. I never wanted to see Rafa Benitez go. But looking back, it probably was the right time for him to do so. And I think maybe increasingly it's looking like, you know, time is running out for Rodgers. 4-9 or whatever it is, 8-15 Liverpool is a criminal bet. Absolute criminal. If you'd have seen Liverpool as closely as I've done recently, you wouldn't touch that with a barge pole. A few seasons ago, Lee, you remember early on in the season, Villa went to Liverpool and they were 8-1. Liverpool were a good side then, yeah. A far better side than they are now. And I went for them, and I remember Robbie Savage gulping, thinking what an idiot I was, and he won 3-1. Villa will win again. I am confident Villa will win this game because there's no Liverpool are sad, bereft of confidence. Things will go bad for the first 20 minutes. The crowd will start getting on the back. And remember last season, Villa went there and won 1-0. You know, they weren't playing any better than they are doing now, Villa, but they went there and won easily. I think they'll do it again. They could well be my nap, Villa, to win this Saturday.
Interesting to see. There's one very good manager, of course, who's out of a job and kind of sat in the sidelines. Yeah, so it's difficult for Rodgers, isn't it? When you're trying to do a job, and you know the former Borussia Dortmund manager, who everyone seems to love, is there. And Klopp's been clipped in the betting as well, hasn't he? Yeah.
He has 5-4 now. 5-4. Carlo Ancelotti's 2-1 in that market, 12-1 and bigger the rest. Who would you want to see in, Derek, if Rodgers does go?
Well, that's the thing, you see, don't you? We don't want any English managers, you know. Look, Sam Allardyce and
Alan Kirby. It's a good job. There's none in the betting, is there?
No, I know. Well, yeah, Klopp, I don't know. I mean, I don't really know too much about him other than what he did at Dortmund, and he did okay then, but then he had a bad season, didn't he? Ancelotti's been around and done it. Would he come? Would he want a Champions League team? And you could, if Ancelotti come, I don't think there'd be too many people, kicking up a fuss over it.
No, precisely. I think if Ancelotti came in for Rodgers, I think there'd be plenty of people on Merseyside gleeful at his appointment.
Yeah.
Southampton versus Swansea is next. Southampton 21-20, the draw 21-10, Swansea 3-1. Headline offers, Graziano Pella to score and Southampton to win 7-2. Bafétimbi Gomis to score and Swansea to win is 7-1. Interesting match this one, Derek. Southampton 6 points from six games. Swansea have picked up 9 from six. These prices are framed heavily around recent form, though, and Swansea have failed to score in the last three matches in the league. Been beaten by Watford, Hull City in the Capital One Cup, and a 0-0 draw against Everton sandwiched in between as well.
You know what? I looked at this picture and I thought, God, that's a tough one to call that. And normally I'm fully au fait with the odds for the games before, and I do my own work, as you well know. But this game has escaped my gaze, and I've just looked at the prices, and I can't believe Swansea are 3-1. I think that's way too big.
Yeah.
I really do. I expected them to be 15-8, something like that, at best 2-1. They won here last season. And Southampton, they've just done impress me. I think Southampton are more likely to be struggling against relegation than in the mid-table safety, because all the best players have gone and now it's feeling it. I'm not getting worked up by what they did in midweek against MK Dons. That doesn't matter. They don't score enough goals for me. Okay, Swansea don't either. But Swansea are 3-1. Southampton are even money. Swansea for me all day long.
Swansea 3-1. With Pella being part of that headline offer as well, Lee, it's worth reiterating that that stat I've mentioned on numerous occasions on the podcast, especially after his exploits against Manchester United last weekend. He's now got 14 of his 16 Premier League goals at home.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at Southampton this week, you've got to have a glance at that headline offer.
Yeah, and I think it's 6-4 if you like your anytime goal scorers. You think there are going to be goals, and that'd be one you'd be looking at. Goals are hard to come by in this fixture, though, in the Premier League era when they've both been playing in the division. From 2012 onwards, 1-1, 0-0, 2-0, 1-0, 1-0. 1-0. So it's not a high-scoring game according to the head-to-heads. And head-to-heads can be misleading because you have different managers and obviously different players. But these two teams, obviously this season they've got the same managers from last year. Mm. And I think they've had the same styles as well for a little while. So I think those head-to-heads do stand up. The under 2.5 is 8-13, which is about as low as I'll go on an under 2.5 shout, to be fair. And Southampton aren't quite the same team they were last year. So I'm not overly convinced. I don't agree with Derek here. I'm more of a fan of Southampton than I am of Swansea. I think Swansea flatter to deceive quite a lot. I think they lull you into thinking we're a good team, and they go and lose 1-0 at Watford. They drew 1-1 at Sunderland. Admittedly, they also drew 2-2 at Chelsea, but that result could be a little bit devalued, and they had the keeper sent off after 50 minutes, Chelsea. So, I'm not sure about Swansea. I don't think they're a very good away team. Southampton have scored 3 against Norwich and 2 against Man United. I'm taking Southampton to win this one. I'm actually tempted to go Southampton -1. I think they could have a 2-goal victory here. Yeah, I think they could win by, that only has to be a 2-0 or a 3-1. I think Southampton have got more attacking intent this year, and I don't think Swansea have got enough goals. I won't go for that. I'll just go for the Southampton win, but I wouldn't be surprised if Southampton win it by 2 clear goals.
21-20 Southampton to win that game. Do look at that headline offer, Graziano Pella to score and Southampton to win, which is 7-2. On to Stoke versus Bournemouth. Stoke are 13-8 to win this game. The draw 21-10, Bournemouth 9-5. Headline offers, Boyan to score and Stoke to win is 6-1. Callum Wilson to score and Bournemouth to win is in the market at 5-1. Stoke City, Lee, last weekend threw away a 2-0 lead against Leicester, ended up drawing that game 2-2. 13-8 to win against Bournemouth, still without Ryan Shawcross, and they do look that centre back partnership looks creaky, to say the least. I'm tempted by this 13-8 Stoke to beat Bournemouth at home.
You're tempted by Stoke?
Yeah, I am.
Too right. I'm more than tempted. You pile in with everything you've got.
I agree, Derek. It's just that it's a massive price, isn't it?
From there? I get you, but where do the goals... I mean, look at what they've done so far. Yeah, they scored the 2 against Leicester. I just don't see... They've got a worse shots on target record at home than Bournemouth have away. Bournemouth have more shots on target away from them than Stoke do at home. I just think... Stoke are a funny old team. I want to back them at 13-8 as well, but there's something worrying me about this fixture. It really is. They've got to start turning it round soon. But they don't half worry me. And he scored one at Fulham in the week. You know, scored one at Luton. They've got no goals in them. I'm going for the draw at 21-10.
Okay, draw 21-10 for Lee. Fingers burnt last week a bit with Stoke, though, Derek. That's the only reservation I've got, given they were 6-4 to win at home to Leicester. Yeah. Would you say Leicester and Bournemouth, the end of the season, will they finish in a similar position?
Well, Leicester have got such a head start on them now. 12 points against Bournemouth's, what, 7? And probably not. Leicester, you know, it's going to have to take a total collapse from Leicester. And they're playing above themselves right now. And Bournemouth are playing pretty much how you'd expect, maybe a margin a little bit better. They're not in the relegation zone and they were one of the favourites to go down. But, yeah, but we know that Bournemouth are capable of playing good football, but they're also capable of being absolutely thrashed. I know Stoke will finish above Bournemouth, and you look at these odds and your odds compilers are pretty much saying there's nothing to choose between these sides, and that's wrong.
Well, with the home advantage as well, Derek.
Yeah, exactly. Well, on neutral ground, if Stoke are 13-8 on our home territory, on neutral ground, they'd probably be joint favourites, wouldn't they? Looking at those,
they'd be outsiders probably.
Yeah, they'd probably be outsiders, and I'm not having that. Stoke will get better. And I'm not sure Bournemouth will. And I'm 13-8 is the price. I'm happy to take that their improvements will happen this week. Mm.
We finish off with West Ham versus Norwich. West Ham 13-10, the draw 11-5, and Norwich 11-5. Dimitri Payet to score and West Ham to win is 5-1. Wes Houlihan to score and Norwich to win is in the betting at 10-1. If West Ham win this game, Derek, they'll have 15 points from their opening 7 games. They've never previously got more than 13 points in their opening 7 in the Premier League. So the things that Bilic are doing are working so far.
Well,
away from home, anyway.
Away from home, that's it. I mean, those wins they've got, the ridiculous wins they've got, there was no fluke about them. Every one was deserved. And then they go come out of Upton Park and they deteriorate by about a stone. I don't understand that. This fixture's a horrible one. It really is to end up on. Not a job big enough to tempt me, 11-5. I've got to go for West Ham because every time I've seen them, they've impressed me. Luckily, I just haven't seen them when they've been at home losing to rubbish sides. I'm going to go for West Ham here. I think, you know, surely sooner or later, they're going to have to turn it on in front of their own fans. And Norwich, come on, they're an easy pick. When Norwich are on the road, they generally lose. I'm going to go for West Ham.
West Ham are 13-10. To win this game. It would be silly, Lee, to suggest they can't eventually replicate the away form at home. That's going to even out at some point.
Maybe, yeah, but if you're a sensible manager, and I think the Norwich one is, you won't go there and be open against them, will you?
No.
You won't play into their hands, and what they obviously struggle to do is to break teams down. Now, they broke Newcastle down, but, you know, we could have probably put 11 together. We would have a good go at breaking Newcastle down. Payet is fantastic, isn't he? I mean, you know, he's getting rave reviews. You just kind of hope he manages to maintain this level of form throughout the season. I hope he isn't just a bit of a flash in the pan. Good to see Zarate scoring in midweek as well. I was a big fan of him last season. I agree with Derek, it's a tricky one. I can't trust West Ham against a team who I know are capable, as they showed at Liverpool, of going away and getting a draw. You know, look at their performances so far away from home. Alright, they lost 3-0 at Southampton. They beat Sunderland 3-1. You know, they've proved they can go away and score goals. I think they'll go away and score a goal here. I think West Ham will as well. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw here. Obviously, if you just want the draw, 11-5 is good enough. I think 11-5 the draw, same price as Norwich. I think the draw is more likely than Norwich winning. Mm. So I think it's a nice price, 11-5.
If you're looking at the 1-1 draw, that's in the betting at 6-1. Naps then.
Yes.
Naps.
God.
Naps.
Yeah. I'm stuck between two here. And they're both in the same game.
Right, okay. Are they opposite sides?
No. I've actually managed to... It's the Arsenal to win and both teams to score. I think Leicester are very open. I share Derek's kind of cynicism about Leicester that sooner or later they're going to run out of luck. And sooner or later, this little bit of form is going to start to drift. And I think Arsenal are a very good team. I get that there's a little bit of worry about the Champions League around the corner, but they're past masters at that. Wenger knows how to win the week before a Champions League match and send them into that with confidence. The dilemma I've got is whether I go for Arsenal to win and both teams to score, or the plain old Alexis Sanchez anytime. I'm going to go for the Arsenal to win and both teams to score here at 23-10.
Good stuff. Derek, what's your nap?
Well, I'm almost tempted to go for Aston Villa. I think they are overpriced to win a Liverpool side that's there for the taking. But I can't get away from Stoke being overpriced. I think they are overpriced. 13-8, did you say they were 6-4, 13-8?
Yeah, 13-8 they are, Derek.
Yeah, I'll go for Stoke.
Oh, is he Nick yours? Ooh, is he Nick yours?
What do I go for here?
Well, I'll tell you what, if you want Stoke, I've got another one. I'll go for.
Tell us what the other one is first.
Palace. You might need Palace that. To win at Watford.
Go on then.
You were keen on Stoke.
I was keen on. I think Stoke are massive.
You
only
looked at one match
today.
Jeez, we'll be here all day if you don't give him that one.
Yeah, I'll let you have Palace then, Derek. And if Stoke win, we'll claim half a point each. Arsenal 23-10 match result, and both teams to score. Stoke at 13-8 to win outright against Bournemouth, and Palace to go to Watford and win 25-1. That will cover all the early season sins up.
If that lands, it's a bit unfair on Derek, isn't it?
If that
lands, we'll half it. Yeah, is that fair? So you can have like, I don't know, what. Half
the point on Stoke, half the point on Palace.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair, isn't it? Well, you can have 6-4 each.
Should we cross this bridge when it comes to it?
6-4 each, that's half, isn't it?
Cross that bridge when we don't come to it.
Yeah, precisely. Thank you for your company, Derek.
Cheers, lads.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Cheers, DK. Thanks, Derek.
Cheers, boys.
Yes, and thanks to you for listening to the William Hill Punt Podcast. Remember, you can download this via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. You can get us on iTunes as well. And you can follow and abuse us all on Twitter. At BetLikeAPro is Derek McGovern. I'm Dee Kellner. And Lee Phelps is at Lee Phelps.
You never gave us the answer last week to that.
I didn't.
I've been looking at it all week. I got Teddy Sheringham. That's three of the four. I can't get the fourth one, though.
Andy Cole?
Got Andy Cole.
Did you get Andy Cole? Teddy Sheringham, Andy Cole. I've forgotten.
Shearer was one of them.
Shearer was one of them.
This is players who scored against.
Frank Lampard was the other one.
Really?
Yeah, Frank Lampard was the other one.
Great show. Yeah. Do you remember what the question was?
The question was, it was scored against a certain number. Yeah. I forgot what the number. I think it was 30 or 32 teams in the Premier League.
Lampard, of course.
Lampard was the other one. Oh. And I meant to, as the professional presenter that I am, I meant to give the answer out at the end of the podcast last week.
Well, it's been doing my head in all week.
Yeah, you've had to wait a week.
I know.
You've had to wait a week.
I could have asked you in the office.
Thank you for your company on the Punt Podcast, folks. Remember to download this podcast via Audio Boom and check us out on Twitter as well. And myself, Lee and Derek, will be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.